Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I was browsing through X yesterday, and I saw Lon Sibin's tweet that he's not necessarily quitting the social media platform, although maybe he will, but that he's no longer going to pay for the checkmark. I don't know, for some people this is irrelevant, but for me it's interesting. I was like, I want to know what Lon's thinking here. So Lon joining us now. Lon.tv is his, obviously, YouTube channel, and hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers and subscribers on YouTube. Good morning, Lon. It's been a while. How are you?
Good morning. I've been great. Keeping busy.
So you're not going to pay. How much is it a month anyway?
I think it's like, well, there's two tiers. I was on the lower tier, so it was like $8 a month, I think.
And you know, $8, I mean, we have subscriptions all over the place. You know, in the big picture, you know, it's not going to make or break your life, but it's, you know, symbolically, it's kind of big. So why'd you do it?
Well, I was looking at the value proposition, and you know, there's nothing about the platform or the owner or anything that prompted this. It was just that I was seeing in some verticals, you know, certain topics that people without the check mark were doing just as well as people with it. And when I looked at my analytics, I was seeing that over time, things just there's not been a lift, partly because the platform has deprecated external linking. So if you post a video, like for a YouTube video, for example, like a link to it, that won't get the reach, even with the check mark, than that it would if you had posted the video natively. But long form doesn't work too well on Twitter, which is what I produce. So right. You know, every year I get to the end of the year, I look at how everything did, and I peel back a lot of the services that I'm paying for. You know, even so, it's only $8. There's a couple of other $8 things out there that I've been keeping an eye on that I'm rolling back a little bit just to save a little money.
Now, I'm just curious. You talk about when looking at the analytics, so you get to see like how your posts are consumed. Can the average person see that stuff?
So you can, of course. You can see at the bottom when you see your view count. So they have a view count on every tweet.
Okay.
But you also, as a checkmark person, you have access to their analytics. So if you go to analytics.twitter.com, they actually have some really deep analytics about the performance of your posts, which ones did the best, how many people saw them, how many people engaged with them. So they do have a pretty rich analytics.
So it's analytics dot what?
.twitter.com or .x.com, I should say. And if you pop in there as a blue check, it'll tell you how you're doing.
Oh, you have to have a blue check to see your stats.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I had that up until 2 days ago.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. We're talking with Lon Sibin from Lon.tv here on Brian & Company. So I guess my question was going to be like, you know, for you, it's just a straight, you know, cost-benefit analysis. It's not political. But have you checked out Blue Sky or anything else?
Yeah. So I've been posting to everything. Blue Sky has been a little better in the sense that they don't deprecate private link or external linking at the moment. Most platforms start that way and then they change it because they want to keep people locked in.
Right.
And some people went there. You know, it's funny. There was this huge quote unquote exodus of people who left after the election from Twitter to Blue Sky. But in my following count, I only lost 80 people. So I don't think it was all that many. But, you know, in looking at Blue Sky, you know, the engagement levels are nowhere near what they are on Twitter for the same type of post.
Huh.
So you'll see, you know, a thousand hearts to, you know, tens of thousands on Twitter for a popular creator's post.
Interesting. And how does Threads factor in?
You know, Threads is very algorithmically driven, and it's Meta, which has its own issues, you know, with the way Facebook treats things. And as a test I did over the weekend, right before I cut my blue check off, is I posted some snippets of the video that I did natively to each of those platforms. and Threads actually thought I was posting spam and locked me out. Yeah, it's really hard. And Meta in particular really doesn't like having people go off site. You know, with Instagram, you're not even allowed to link to externally.
Yeah.
Facebook posts, again, off site linking is discouraged. So it's tough being an independent creator these days because most of the platforms don't pay. So
where do you, what's your preferred medium right now?
So YouTube has always been the preferred medium, partly because that's the type of content I produce, the longer form review stuff and analysis. YouTube is probably the last platform that actually pays people fairly. Twitter does have a monetization program, but they base it on how many verified subscribers follow you. So you actually have to have people who are paying Twitter follow you to get monetized, and the lift on that is very high. And I think, you know, a bulk of the blue check mark people on Twitter are mostly into political content, which is not what I'm producing. So it's hard to get the revenue share there.
Lon Seidman, Lon.tv is his YouTube channel if you want to check it out. Tons of product reviews, too. It's great stuff. I wanted to ask you about AI. I don't know how much work you're doing on it. I'm getting to the point where, honestly, and it's not because I'm some old fuddy-duddy, I haven't engaged in it at all. Like, I haven't even taken the first step. I don't know if you speak your prompts, if you type your prompts. I don't know if you need an app.
Right.
Like, what do you suggest? You know, and a lot of our listeners are in the same boat, and a lot of them embrace it. But what do you suggest to somebody who's done nothing with AI?
So I would look at it from this standpoint. I think there's, first of all, a lot of hype, and a lot of it is just hype. But for me, what I've found with it is whenever I have something that's time consuming, whether it's writing something or maybe doing an analysis, what I'll do is I'll take that task and I'll toss it over to ChatGPT and Google's Gemini and see how it does.
But how do you do that? And so you have you have their app and you type it. How do you actually
do
that?
Yep, I ask it what I would ask an intern, right? Like, take a look at this file and tell me what you see in it. I missed a local school board meeting and I wanted to get recapped on it. So I threw a transcript in there and I asked it, like, you know, what did each person say? What was their chief criticism or chief question? And it was really insightful that it was able to pull that out. So now that I've got that as a success, I could say, okay, that's something I can use it for in the future. What I do with it right now primarily is when I post a video, I give it the transcript and I have it write me a blog post for my website. And it's, you know, about 80% useful. So that's been a task that I've used AI for quite frequently. So there's, you know, there's things that it can do, and I found a lot of times the things I ask it to do, I could do better myself, and I go back to that. So,
right.
So I think for every situation, I think it's very good at analyzing a large block of text. So if you are trying to summarize something, if you're trying to figure out who said what and when in a meeting or whatever, especially for journalists, you know, give it your transcript from your interview.
Right.
It's really good for that kind of stuff.
I wish I had that, like, 10 years ago.
Right, exactly.
It would have been so helpful. Lon, it's always great to catch up. If we don't catch up before the holidays, have a great holiday. Again, you go to YouTube, it's Lon.tv, and he has an archive of all his videos, and it's easy to subscribe. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Anytime. See you soon.